So for those of you who are visiting us, very warm welcome to you. It's great to have you with us. Just to take a few moments just to talk a bit about what Bob has to say to us on occasion night today. We've been working our way through Luke's Gospel. Luke is one of the four Gospels. Gospel is good news. It's the story of Jesus. And we've been working our way through Luke since Advent last year, can you believe, back in November. They're all available online, so if you want to watch any of them or listen to them in the back, they're all there for you to listen to. And we're heading towards the end, or to put it in the words of Luke, in Luke chapter 9, verse 31, it's the time when Jesus' departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment in Jerusalem, is about to happen. So we're heading towards that time. Next Sunday is Palm Sunday, so we're going to be doing that. That's what we're looking at next Sunday. The following Sunday will be, so then we have Holy Week, we have Easter weekend, we're going to do some post-resurrection stuff, there's stuff at the end of Luke, we're going to do the Ascension, and then we'll be into Pentecost, and that's where we're going, and then we'll be finishing Luke at the end of May, early June. So that's where we're headed for the next few weeks. Last week, Catherine unpacked for us some of the early teaching of Jesus that we find in Luke chapter 6. And this morning I'm going to go to the other end of Jesus' ministry, look at the end of his life, and look at a couple of things there. So I'm going to read a few verses. These verses come after the Palm Sunday account, which we're going to go to next week. So we're kind of slightly out of sequence, but that's not unusual for you. I'm sure you've got that by now, those of you who've been following us. And we're going to jump in at Luke chapter 19 and verse 45. When Jesus entered the temple courts, he began to drive out those who were selling. It is written, he said to them, my house will be a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of robbers. Every day he was teaching at the temple, but the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the leaders among the people were trying to kill him. Yet they could not find any way to do it because all the people hung on all his words. One day, as Jesus was teaching the people in the temple courts and proclaiming the good news, the chief priests and the teachers of the law, together with the elders, came up to him. Tell us by what authority you are doing these things, they said. Who gave you this authority? He replied, I'll ask you a question. Tell me, John's baptism, was it from heaven or of human origin? They discussed it among themselves and said, if we say from heaven, he will ask, why didn't you believe him? But if we say of human origin, all the people will stone us because they are persuaded that John was a prophet. So they answered, we don't know where it was from. Jesus said, neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things. First things first, I need to hold my hands up and let you know that I made a mistake a couple of weeks ago. So, you may remember, those of you who are here may remember this slide that I put up. The mustering turned into sneering, that turned into looking for a way to arrest him, and then they kind of get rid of him and they crucified him. Okay? And there's this progression, this transition from kind of that started out as a lot of mustering and complaining. Became more than that, and sneering, and then ended up with the wanton killing. What I missed, you might have noticed from today, is Luke chapter 19, verse 47, but the chief priests, the teachers of the law, the leaders among the people were trying to kill him. So actually, the trying to kill him bit happened a bit earlier in the story, in that journey. Okay, I was missed, so I hold my hands up. However, the point still stands, that if we don't deal with the muttering and the complaining, it can escalate, and it can become a negative way of behaving, and acting. In Luke's account, in this passage in 19 verses 45, these words take place, as I said earlier, just after Jesus has entered Jerusalem, after the Palm Sunday account, but before he was crucified. What is interesting to note is that in chapter 21 and verse 37 to 38, each day Jesus was teaching at the temple, and each evening he went out to spend the night on the hill called the Mount of Olives, and all the people came early in the morning to hear him at the temple. So, in Luke's account, Luke chapter 19, we have the Palm Sunday account, 21 to 44. We then have the Last Supper is in 22, which we're going to do next in a few weeks' time. So we've only got two chapters. Jesus did an awful lot of teaching in this period of time. A lot more than what we find in two chapters in Luke. So the question for us, as we're reading through Luke, why did Luke include these bits? And why did he include other things? What's the point? What's Luke trying to achieve? What's he trying to do? Now, there are three groups of people we find in these these passages in chapter 20, 21, and 22. The first group is the religious leaders, the chief priests, who are trying to kill him. They're looking for a way to get rid of him. The second group are the crowd. These are people that hang on every word that he says. The third group are the disciples, those who are close to Jesus, those who are be part of it. And when you read through these two chapters, you find that at various points Luke is addressing various ones of these characters or these groupings. And it's important that we can understand at what point Luke is talking to who. So what's Luke trying to achieve for us? Throughout Luke, we're being very clear that there's one message that he's trying to communicate with us. It's what I've called the golden thread that runs through Luke. And I don't know if you can remember what it is. I'm not going to test you. I do this every week with my small group. By the time I get to the end, of course, they might have remembered it. But we'll get there. So Luke, what's his golden thread? His golden thread is that Jesus Christ came as the Son of God to save the world. He came for everybody. And Luke does that by showing that by talking about some individuals. People who are ostracized by society. People who are on the edge of society. And Jesus came and he met with these people. He kind of revealed himself to these people. He said, look, this is who I am. Come follow me. And they did. Jesus is the Son of God. So right back to the start of Luke's the Gospel account, we find Jesus being the Son of God. That's the kind of key message. Right back, Luke chapters 1, 2, 3, Jesus comes, Christ comes. And in that context, if you can remember that far back in the studies, the message came via the angels and through the shepherds and through the people around at the time. This is my special son. This is Jesus, the Son of God who's come. So how does he do it at the end of this account? Luke does it again by using the story of the religious leaders. He puts their words to help us understand. They say, tell us by what authority you were doing these things. Who gave you this authority? Chapter 20 and verse 2. See, Luke doesn't spell it out black and white for us, but if we do our homework, if we do a bit of digging, it becomes quite clear what Luke is trying to communicate with us. Because the religious leaders knew that there was something special about Jesus. They knew that there was a problem. They knew that they had an issue with this guy because he's kind of causing a lot of issues for them. He's challenging them. He's speaking to them. And they go, hang on a minute. But how are you doing this? What is the authority that you've got to do this? What is the purpose? Who are you speaking on behalf of? They kind of knew the message. They knew what was going to come. And they were trying to test it and check him out. If you go back to the story in chapter 20, you can do a little homework on this, read chapters 20 and 21 a little bit later. But you find in verse 7, for example, that, and then in verse 19, the teachers of the law know that Jesus is talking about them. But they can't do anything about it because they're afraid of the people. But they know that Jesus is on to them. They know that Jesus is challenging them. And in verse 26, they were unable to trap him, it says. They were astonished at what he said. They kind of knew what he actually said was so bang on, but they didn't like him because actually it was upsetting what they were trying to achieve, what they were trying to do. These leaders had a bit of a problem, you see. They knew that Jesus was speaking the truth, but he was speaking the truth in a way which they weren't. And if they tried to force the issue, they were going to upset the crowd, and they were scared of the crowd. So they had to kind of try and figure out what they were going to do. How are they going to respond to this person who's saying all this stuff? So things got pretty uncomfortable, this group of religious leaders. They were losing control of the crowd. People were turning to Jesus rather than to them. Jesus was directly challenging some of the practices that they were adopting and had adopted, undermining some of their authority. Can I just remind you of the story of the lost son? We did this a few weeks ago, 3 weeks ago in fact it was, in Luke chapter 15. And at the end of there we find this amazing account where the father says to both the young son and the old son, you're kind of my children, but it's up to you to choose to live as my children. These religious leaders were invited to be part of that community, part of that family, and they chose not to be. when things start to get a bit uncomfortable, what do we do? So these religious leaders, when things got a bit uncomfortable, they started to turn to work out how they could reject and get rid of him, because it's too much of a problem for them. And it's no different to us today, is it, in our society? You know, we hear the stories. These religious leaders knew that the truth was there. They knew that Jesus was who he said he was. They just didn't want to believe it. And if they acknowledged it, that kind of caused an issue. And so they kind of hid behind this, well, actually, I don't really know the answer, is what they said. Well, I can't be sure. Or, as what most often happens today, well, it's not for me. It's okay for you guys, but it's not for me. Luke, in the context of these religious leaders, presents us with this challenge that says, this is the truth. And what are you going to do about it? How are you going to respond? And he wants us, as his readers of this account, to reflect on that truth. Then Jesus moves on in chapter 21 to talk to his disciples. Some of his disciples were remarking about how the temple was adorned with beautiful stones and with gifts dedicated to God. And Jesus said to them, Jesus is addressing here the leaders, the disciples, the followers of him. Listen to what he says here. He says in verse 19, watch out that you are not deceived, for many will come in my name, claiming I am he, and the time is near. Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and uprisings, do not be frightened. These things must happen first. At the end, will not come right away. That's not 20 verse 19, that's actually 21 verses 8 and 9. And then in verse 12 of 21, but before all this, they will seize you and persecute you. Jesus is kind of taking his disciples one side and says to them, hey, guess what, guys? Things are going to get a bit messy around here. Things are going to get a little bit tough for you. They're going to seize you, they're going to persecute you, they're going to pull you aside. Actually, there's going to be pretty horrible stuff going on around here. You need to be prepared for this. Don't ever think that being a follower of Jesus is easy. Let me assure you that. Don't ever think that being a follower of Jesus is the easy path, it's the easy route, it's the easy option. It's tough. We swim against the crowd. We stand out a little bit. People will reject us, people will turn us, sometimes we ridicule us, sometimes people make nasty comments about us. And certainly in parts of the world today, you lose your life if you claim to be a follower of Jesus. Literally. They kill you. Don't ever think that being a follower of Jesus is an easy option. And Jesus wants out of his care and concern as he comes towards the end of his life to say to his disciples, guys, girls, followers of mine, just be aware it's going to get pretty messy. It's going to be pretty tough. You need to be prepared for this. I love this. We find this in verses 14 and 15. But make up your mind not to worry beforehand how you will defend yourselves. For I'll give you words of wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. Look at this verse. Who knows what Luke 21 verse 14 says? It's not a verse that we often commit to memory, is it? It's not a verse that we kind of call out often in our memory. But let me remind you of what it says. And kind of encourages remembering, memorizing. But make up your mind beforehand. Make up your mind not to worry beforehand. What an incredible, beautiful state that is. Whatever life is throwing at you, make up your mind not to worry beforehand. With what you're facing, make up your mind not to worry beforehand. Why? Because God will come through for us. We're just saying it. Great is thy faithfulness. Jesus promises to his disciples and his followers, don't worry, because I'm going to be there for you. I'm going to give you the words to say. And when things get messy and get tough, I'll be there for you. Things are going to get pretty difficult and pretty challenging for these disciples. Right at the end of Jesus' life, we have these two chapters between that kind of captured this last week of his life, in fact. And in all that teaching that he did, Luke just pulls out these two chapters for us, these two sections. The message that he wants us to hear is I've got the truth. I am the truth. But what are you going to do with that? How are you going to respond to that? What are you going to do with that? But then also, not only that, if you choose to follow me, just be prepared that things are going to get a bit messy, a bit difficult. But you can trust me. You can trust me because I'm going to come through for you. I guess the question for us is, which of the three are we? Because we all fall in one of those categories. We may not see ourselves in that way, but we're one of those three. We're either the religious leaders who kind of know there's something in this, there's some truth in this, but actually choosing to follow that is more uncomfortable than actually accepting it. And so we just reject it. We get rid of it. We don't want anything to do with it. And we rubbish it and go, ask not for me. I don't really know the answer to that question. They did know the answer to that question, they just want to say it. We know the truth. And so some of you know the truth. You know what's the truth because you've seen it, you've evidenced it, you've seen what happened today, you've heard what Leslie said. You know there's something in this. Leslie doesn't get up at 6:30 in the morning and start thinking, oh, McDonald's, because he just decides to and he made a New Year's resolution to do so. It's not normal. God has transformed him. And you can't argue with that. You know there's something in this. But what do you do with it? And yes, it can be uncomfortable, but the religious leaders found it uncomfortable. And rather than actually embrace it, they reject it. The crown they hung on every word, they were gobbling it up. But then a week later they turned. They were just going along with the status quo, going along with everybody else. And you, perhaps you're just going on with everybody else. You're going on with what everyone else is thinking. You don't want to stick your head up and go, actually, I can't think this is something in this. Maybe that's where you're at. But if you've chosen to follow Jesus, be aware that things are also going to get tricky and difficult. And there will be challenges. And there will be days where you really struggle. But make up your mind not to worry beforehand. Commit that memory, that verse to memory. Make up your mind not to worry beforehand. Because God will come through for you. God will come through for you. Let's pray.